Well, microphones are not one of my favorite foods, but what we want to do is welcome you here this morning. We appreciate all of you coming out for what we think is an important event as far as we move forward with making our heritage and the culture that we knew here between the rivers, between the lakes, available for anyone who would be interested in, especially those that come after us. We have several dignitaries here this morning. I saw Senator Jason Howe. Jason, can you hear me? Senator Howe, appreciate you coming. Ashley Joyner, I saw just got here. Ashley, the manager of Lake Barkley State Park. Spencer Balladine is here. He's an authority on our LBL moonshine. Spencer, good to have you. Stan, I'll introduce a little bit later, our county judge exec. Elaine Jackson from the LBLA. Elaine, good to have you with us. Callaway County Judge Exec Ines will be coming along in a moment. Also, his wife, who is a state representative from a part that includes the LBL in the state legislature. I'll try to recognize them when they get here. I don't really have any opening remarks right now. I think it's right now is the appropriate time to bless our get together here and bless this event. We have Danny Mitchison with us. So Brother Danny, if you'd come and lead us in a word of prayer.
Thank you, Jim. Let us pray. Gracious Father, the creator, sustainer of the universe, we come before you under the blood of Jesus Christ with confidence of the cross. Lord, that this day be a celebration of remembrance and reflection, Lord, and also a constant reminder, Lord, of the price that was paid that we might have this land between the lakes. Lord, bless every home, family, and church that is represented here today. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful weather, the sunshine, and the cool breeze, because it's all in your hands and your keeping. You look down over all the affairs of all humanity, Lord, and you judge each and every one. Lord, let each and every one of us be mindful of you on a daily basis, and we just give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Danny. I thought right now, before we move on, I want to take you with us. I was born in 1943, and I was raised in Golden Pond. I want to take you on a little quick trip through Golden Pond, 1940s, 50s. I'm going to start on this ridge right here. It's one of my favorite squirrel hunting ridges right here. And I got to be 13. I think my dad said I had to be 13 before I could hunt on my own. So I had this place, and I had the place, the hollow behind Charlie Wilson's. It went up near Bogard Cemetery. That was my favorite hunting spot. But on occasion, Lawton Higgins lived right here, right around the bend here. And Lawton was a squirrel hunter. Not many people knew that. They knew him as something else, but he was a squirrel hunter and a good squirrel hunter. And so he'd see me in town and he'd say, meet me on the moss bed. We'll go squirrel hunting in the morning. And so I would meet him on the moss bed, and he used a 22 rifle only. And so I had to use a 22, but when I was hungry, I used my 20 gauge. And he was an excellent squirrel hunter. He wasn't as good as Harold Knight. He couldn't talk to the squirrels, but he could find them. And he knew how to shoot. So he gave me a lot of the skills I had as a squirrel hunter. Lawton Higgins imparted that to me. Then I bring you around the creek here. Right across the road from here was where Lenny and Bill Bogard lived. Lenny was the same age as my sister, and Bill was near my age, maybe a few months older. But they were good friends of ours. We spent a lot of time at their house. Then you come on around to the rifle range. That's my Uncle Joe's place. We hope we don't get any racket out of there this morning like we did when we were here about 8 years ago. That kind of interrupted what we were doing here. Now we got the cicadas, and that's a little bit better than the rifle range. So, my Uncle Joe had 8 children. They were all cousins of mine. Matter of fact, they were more than cousins. We had brothers that married an aunt and a niece. That's not double cousins, I know, before you correct me. So we always said we were 1.5 cousins. And so they were all practically like brothers and sisters to us because we all lived in this small community of Golden Pond. You come on around the creek, Mr. Gilbert and Charlotte Turner. Mr. Gilbert used to take me fishing before I started to school. Mr. Gilbert kindly gave me some tips on how to catch crappie in Kentucky Lake. Come on down the creek, right across here was my grandmother's house. And as far as I'm concerned, that was the place that I missed the most. You know, as we grow old, we forget what we had for breakfast, but we can remember vividly our childhood. And I have vivid memories of my grandmother. She had 30 plus grandchildren, and we all felt like we were her favorite. We still talk about that a little bit at 80 years old. But she was a special woman, Miss Gertie Wallace. She had 5 sons that served in World War II and was overseas. 5 sons, had 2 sons-in-laws. She had 7 sons overseas. 4 in the Pacific, 3 in Europe during World War II. And they all came back. 2 Purple Hearts, but they all came home. Also living where was our Uncle T, Arthur Wallace, who many of you might remember. He was the principal of Tree County Elementary for years. Uncle T was like a big brother to all of us grandchildren, and he used to be the one that provided the transportation, take us to the Lakeview Drive-In. And we had so many, we'd have to put a couple in the trunk to get everybody in. But we had a great time with our Uncle T. Coming on down the creek, let's don't skip school. Right over there was the school, the ball diamond, and the basketball courts, where we spent a lot of time. Of course, in a small town, you don't have enough for 2 teams to play baseball. But we used to play, anybody remember playing scrub? We played scrub. You could have 4 on one team and 4 on the other team. All you need is a pitcher, a catcher, and a batter. Right, Harold? That's right. So if you got a hit and you didn't have to throw, you just had to throw in front of them between the base, and they were out. And so that took care of that. And then when you ran out of base runners or batters, then you had a ghost on the base. You had to come in. You talk about creative baseball. We had some creative baseball. We could play baseball, well, it took at least 5. But most time we'd have 7, 8, or 9. Coming on down the creek, Gilbert Creek, coming on down the creek, Mr. Frank Dunn lived on the corner. He lived in the old Jefferson house. Across the road was my house, right straight through there, just other side of the parking lot. That's where we live. When I was born. We're not gonna go downtown, I don't have time to do that. We're gonna stay up on the highway. So I was born in 43. I lived remember the house between the 2 stores, between what was Leneve's and Wilson's store? We lived in that house, then we bought the house from Mr. Miller up here and we moved up the road. My dad and his Uncle Lou and his brother Lou, my Uncle Lou, built a restaurant and a grocery right where all the cars sat there, and they named it the Sunset Inn. He had a restaurant, he had a little deli in there, had soft ice cream, the biggest thing to hit between the rivers in the 40s. It was big time. Had soft ice cream, could make you any kind of milkshake you wanted there. He had a grocery in the other part. He had a garage where you could get your oil changed, get your tires changed. He had the same idea that John Walton had, but he didn't take it quite as far. he stopped in Golden Pond. That later became the property of J.B. Oakley's mother-in-law. Lois Oakley bought that in the later years and owned it and ran it. His brother Billy did in the last years. But a lot of time was spent in and around Sunset. I'm going to stop right there. Sometimes I'll take you downtown and tell you about what might have been going on there. But certainly we're glad to hear. You know, as I drive through here, I see different things than most people see. And I know some of you are the same, that have the same memories that I have. But what we're trying to do here is let people know that there was a town here. There were people here. There were people living out their lives here. It had a special culture. If you talk to most people, this was a special place, and for a lot of reasons. Geographically, we were isolated somewhat, didn't have bridges to get in here until 1932, and then we didn't have a real good bridge until the teens, 2016, 2017 or 18, when we got the two. And believe me, they're big bridges. If you've ever driven on the other ones, you know what I'm talking about. So our efforts here has been supported by lots of people. The committee that really has ended up, we've lost some, we've gained some, but the committee, we've been working on this, I'll say 20 years when you say Donnie overall, and it's taken us that to get to where we are today, and we appreciate any support, any kind word that was said about it. Especially from our the Forest Service standpoint, and also from the county government has given us a lot of support, and our federal government has given us a lot of support with some of the legislation we've been able to pass. So we appreciate that from the bottoms of our heart. Now let's move on. Mr. James McCoy is now our new. You've been here long enough to not be new now. You've been around the barn a couple of times. But our area supervisor of LBL, we're certainly glad you're here, James and Jim. I'm going to call you Jim if that's all right. We're certainly glad to have you here because the supervisor of the LBL has been like a revolving door. About the time we get to know one, they're gone, whether they're interim or whether they're permanent. And we certainly hope we get a long stay of Mr. Jim McCoy. So he's going to come now and share some remarks with us. So come on, Jim. Jim McCoy, Area Supervisor, LBL.
Thank you very much. It is a real honor to be here today and to be invited to speak to all of y'all. You know, especially as a representative of the federal government that removed y'all from this place. So I want to read a land acknowledgement statement. The leadership of Land Between the Lakes National Recreation Area, as representatives of the United States government, would like to respectfully acknowledge that the land occupied by the National Recreation Area today is the traditional homeland of the indigenous peoples of the Cherokee and Chickasaw tribes, as well as the homeland of the families of the Between the Rivers communities, all of whom were displaced from this land over time by activities of the government of the United States. We also acknowledge that the land between the lakes is part of the Ohio River Valley, is part of the former homeland of the Shawnee, Osage, and Quapaw tribes, who migrated from this land, which continues to be of significant importance to their people and heritage. The process of knowing and acknowledging the land we stand on is one way of honoring and expressing gratitude for the ancestral people who were on this land before us. We acknowledge that through a series of government actions, including the 1785 Treaty of Hopewell with the Cherokee, the 1805 treaty with the Chickasaw, and the subsequent forced removals of tribes from the east, collectively known as the Trail of Tears, during which members of the Cherokee and Muscogee tribes passed by our western shoreline, these indigenous peoples were displaced from their native lands within the current National Recreation Area. We also acknowledge that through a series of government actions, including the acquisition of land through eminent domain during the impoundment of Kentucky Lake and Lake Barkley reservoirs, creation of a national wildlife refuge, and ultimately the creation of Land Between the Lakes National Recreation Area, over 1,200 families were displaced from their historic communities within the current NRA. We acknowledge that the dislocation of these communities from their homelands resulted in pain, community upheaval, and generational trauma. In addition to the displacement of living populations, we acknowledge that government actions also resulted in the dislocation of numerous human burials and entire cemeteries from their place of internment. We pledge to assist tribes with the repatriation and reburial of their ancestors and to assist all descendant communities with the respectful care of their cemeteries. So, with reflection and recognition of past injustices, we now seek to work cooperatively with the current and future generations of the displaced communities to achieve common goals that benefit the communities, the public, and the land. Let us all clearly recognize the history we share and reaffirm our commitment to improve engagement throughout all of the facets of my agency's work. Thank you for that. So the land acknowledgement is just a moment to pay some respect to our histories. The way I use a land acknowledgement is as a grounding agent. So anytime we have a public meeting or a gathering or a forum, we read that land acknowledgement statement to ground us in the history. And I think it puts all our minds in a different place, and we solve problems differently when we start from that footing. Another thing that we'll be using this for is as a sign at all of our public facilities, so that anybody that cares to learn can read that message as they're entering our facilities. And I think that raises the profile and brings history back to the present a little bit. And I'm proud to be doing it. I'll cut my remarks short there. We've got a lot of other speakers with a lot more interesting topics than I've got. The only thing I would like to for everybody here to know is that we are working on a drive-in route to Golden Pond Overlook. It's not just me. Trigg County has pledged their support for this. We have a gentleman's agreement at present, so the status of that project is that we have signed a contract with a survey company to survey in a route. And once we have that survey in hand, I'll do the environmental compliance stuff, get that. And once we've got that package, a surveyed route and permission to build it, then I'll talk with the county judge executive and we'll figure out what feels like a fair deal on all of this. But we're going to make it happen. And I'll cut off there and pass back. And thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim. At this time, I'm going to ask Donnie Holland to come forward and give us some general remarks. Donnie's a former resident. Donnie's been a member of this committee through the ordeal that of getting where we are, and have been a very vital member of it. So, Donnie, come and share with us some remarks.
Thank you. Jim McCoy, let me say about him first. This has been 60 years of controversy and misery on some fronts for 60 years, and not agreeing on much of anything among the former residents of the Forest Service. Jim is the best one so far that we've ever had by a long shot. His and his team, Chris Thornock, and all of his other team members have just been a fresh air, a breath of fresh air for the BTR groups. I just want to touch on a couple of things. One is the heritage projects completed since this dedication. And the other one is a succession plan. Jim and I have even talked about, a lot of us are getting long in the tooth. It may not be a long time till we're in that great Golden Pond schoolyard in the sky. And so the rumor has always been that whenever the group passes on, that the government will take the land and sell it and do all sorts of weird things. I don't think that'll happen while Jim's here. But Jim is sharp and he'll get promoted before too long, we're worried. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Tourism is important. LBL, we think that some of the projects being worked on are relative to improving tourism. Jim and Mark and I were at Colson Hollow the day before yesterday. A big group wanted to hear about the history of LBL. They're from all over the United States. So we went down in the mud and put on a presentation. And the more of these things we have, the more heritage sites we have, I think the better tourism will be for LBL. I'd like to mention some of the things that have been done since this dedication here 7 or 8 years ago. 7.5. The bridge over the Trace is dedicated. All these take legislative action, most of these. It's dedicated to all residents. The signs are up. Cindy Ezell Henson, where are you? Worked with our legislators, and we had a ceremony that got the bridge dedicated. She's working on the Mr. Harrell project now, who was a survivor of the USS Indianapolis. She's working on maybe a sign or something for that. Conroy Atwood Highway, Golden Pond Highway for Conroy Atwood. Thank you, Stan, for helping drive that. We had a big ceremony. And in these, we never want to forget, at least briefly, what really happened. And Conroy was the prime example. Federal government moved in and drug him out of his house, put him in jail and bulldozed down his house. Kept him in jail for 7 days. He fought to the end and he was right. The government had plenty of land at that time. We won't keep boring into that here today. But it's really good to have that highway named for him. Of course, the Fenton event out there was a huge success. The same team worked on that. Mark Turner's family is near there. We had somewhere in the range of 400 people that day for the Fenton ceremony. We've passed legislation, the LBL Protection and Heritage Act. It took 14 months to get that through Congress. That protects LBL on many fronts. It creates a much stronger advisory board, and we have several board members here today. I'll introduce two, and David Nickel is also on the advisory board now, along, I think there are 13 members. Four of those are from Between the Rivers. It helps financially here. This piece of land has always gone from being broke to not being broke to being broke. This legislation helps ensure some income, appropriate levels of income, and makes the advisory board much stronger and helps to improve the cemetery situation if and when the cemeteries need to be grown, and makes LBL an individual standalone unit inside the Forest Service, whereas it had just kind of been in a big pile of units. Another one, we really appreciate, small but big. There was a gentleman named Harold Van Morgan. He was known as the father of the LBL. And one of his tactics to take this land was to denigrate all the people that lived here as much as he could to the press. He used words, David, like these people lived in a rural slum area They're better off that we got them out of those slums and moved them to better areas. There were statements that the people here were so backward they couldn't find doctors. And those were tactics used by him and his cronies. The good news is there was a road named after Mr. Van Morgan. That sign is down now. That road is now named Golden Pond Road, and we appreciate that. We're working on the documentary with Ann Fentress. I think she approached the BTR group 7 or 8 years ago and got a lot done on the documentary about LBL. COVID kindly set it back. It's been hard to get it going today. Mark will tape all this, get it to Ann. We've been back in touch with her and try to get, before fall, try to get this documentary finished. I'd like to mention the chestnut trees. Some good things. You guys are involved. Can you mention that real brief?
So thank you. Most of you that have gray or silver in your hair will remember having seen American chestnut, which is a tree that's native to this area. The specific family of American chestnut that was living here at Land Between the Lakes, between the rivers then, was genetically probably the most complex of all of the American chestnuts in North America, which makes it a little bit special. It suggests that it is highly adaptable and could live in a lot of other areas. So the genetics here at Land Between Lakes are unique and very special. And very happy to report that we at right now have, I think it's about 64 American chestnut seedlings replanted here at Land Between the Lakes. Through an interesting process, we've let them hitchhike on the roots of Chinese chestnut, which is the tree that brought in the blight that killed all the American chestnuts. So that Chinese chestnut is resistant to the chestnut blight, which means its roots don't die when it's exposed to the blight. So we've basically grafted Land Between the Lakes chestnut sprouts onto Chinese rootstock, planted those in the ground, and those Chinese roots will grow nothing but Land Between the Lakes trees coming out of the ground. Hopefully they'll live long enough to produce nuts, which from there we can grow more chestnuts. And it's a long process. We're talking maybe 30 odd years or better if it works, but we're very hopeful. And I think it's a little ray of sunshine for all of us and for the chestnut in particular. But the importance of it is that if we're successful at this, we'll have genotypes that are appropriate to replant all the way across Tennessee, Kentucky, and clean down into Mississippi. And we're looking forward to hopefully getting some success, and we're very dedicated to it. And just take a moment to thank all the volunteers that also came out and helped plant. David got his hands real dirty planting chestnuts. So thank you for that. And thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you, Jim. What about the cooperative agreement? Do you want to mention that real brief?
Beth. So the revised Land Between the Lakes Protection Act, the Recreation and Heritage Act, gives a little bit more special status to between the rivers communities and their descendants with respect to their heritage here. It gives y'all the right to interpret your own heritage. And I think this is a good thing. It's a very good thing. One of the problems that comes to me with that right is a need to ensure that our interpretive signage is consistent, that it's placed in the right areas, that we know where it is. And for instance, you know, signs placed in road ditches and right-of-ways make it very difficult for us to do job maintenance here. So we've entered into cooperative agreements with Trigg County. We're entering into cooperative agreements. There's money that comes with this, a little bit of money to help with the management. So Trigg County Historical Society, Stewart County Historical Society, and Lyon County Historical Society, to develop a consistent and agreed upon set of interpretive sign appearances that we can install across the National Recreation Area. So looking very forward to that.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. I think that they're also working on Cleo Griffin's house, trying to make a determination of whether it can be salvaged, if not, make it an interpretive center. Bell City, has there been some stabilization work done at Bell City or about to? The Golden Pond Interpretive Center, the Visitor Center, there's hope that it can be turned into a interpretive center, maybe added on to. Not really in the museum, but an interpretive center for all the folks that have lived here, which is something people have wanted for a long, long time. So we appreciate an African American project, I think, is being moved along as well for that community that was here. So we appreciate all that. Succession planning and in your business, about the youngest people that can remember living here now are about 59 or 60 years old. Those would be the small children that were here when everything was bulldozed away. We've all heard the story, as I said a while ago, that when our generation's gone, bad things will happen. We don't necessarily have to believe that, but we have two generations here. Mark Turner, if you would come up, Lori Oakley, Colson Thomas and Ryder, if you guys would come up. I think Mark and Lori want to say a couple of words. They didn't get to live here, but their families did for many, many generations. Mark and Lori are on the board. They're on the advisory board, which strengthens it. Lori Oakley, my grandmother was an Oakley. Everybody was an Oakley. Oakleys are in every bloodline in between the rivers. So I'm going to let them speak a little bit about the next generation coming up to kind of keep an eye on the original promise.
Good morning. I'm so glad to see everyone here today. And as I stand here today and I look out over this vast expanse of land that is part of my heritage, even though I didn't live here, I can't help but feel a deep connection to the history that flows through this place. This land was once home to many generations of my family, and it holds within its soil the stories of those generations past. Stories of resilience, hardship, and the unbreakable spirit of those who called it home. My parents, JB and Faye Oakley, they grew up on opposite sides of Golden Pond, each with their own unique ties to this land. Daddy spent his childhood in the area of Devil's Elbow, and while Mom grew up right here in Golden Pond, where Jim was just telling you on the firing range. What is now the firing range is where my grandparents raised their eight children. And despite growing up in those different areas of between the rivers, they share a common love for this place and have always instilled in me a deep appreciation for its heritage and its history. My grandparents, Jigs and Tildy Oakley and Joe and May Wallace, were the guardians of our family's legacy in between the rivers. They passed down tales of hard work and simple pleasures, fishing, hunting, farming, and raising their families. And through their stories, I learned of the deep connection our family has to this land, and a connection that transcends time and space. As I grow older, I became more increasingly aware of the importance of preserving the history of between the rivers for future generations. My parents, along with other dedicated community members, have worked tirelessly to develop this overlook, the Fenton Overlook, and many other local exhibits that would honor the legacy of this land and ensure that its stories would never be forgotten. Now, as a member of the advisory board for Land Between the Lakes, I feel a sense of responsibility to continue that work that my parents and grandparents started. Alongside my fellow Tri-Countian, Mark Turner, I advocate for the preservation of this land as a national recreation area. And it's a place where people can come to learn about its history and enjoy its natural beauty. Our relationship with the current staff of the Forest Service has evolved into a collaborative partnership built on mutual respect and shared goals. And while our opinions may differ on certain matters, such as logging and controlled burns, there is a genuine willingness to listen to our thoughts and our ideas and our concerns, and that is appreciated. It's heartening to see that they recognize the importance of using this land in accordance with its original purpose as a national recreation area, while also understanding the significance of providing environmental and historical education to visitors. Together, we are working as a team to ensure that that legacy of Between the Rivers remains alive and well preserved for future generations to cherish. Though I often wonder what life would have been like if my family had been allowed to remain here, I'm grateful for the opportunity to carry on this legacy and ensure that these stories of this land live on for generations to come. And through our efforts, I believe we can honor the past while creating a brighter future for this cherished piece of heritage.
I'm glad I let you go first. I don't have to say much now. You saw my best work right there as a paperweight. That's my best work right there. What I want to mostly say is thank all of y'all for coming.
Speak loudly, Mark.
What's that?
Speak loudly.
Okay, it's closer in. Want y'all to know how much I appreciate y'all coming. Just seeing everyone, being able to meet up with old friends, that means more to me than anything. If there's future events that y'all may want to do, let me know. I'll do everything I can to help you get that done. I want people to still feel like we can get together and do things, you know, with just a little bit of notice and enjoy this area together. So anything I can do to help y'all, y'all just let me know. I appreciate it.
So the good news, they're both on the advisory board. That's very helpful to Jim and his crew to have natives on the board. So we're going back one more generation. We're going back to two young men that are 20 years old and 21 years old that are dedicated to Land Between the Lakes. My grandson, Colson Thomas, is about as knowledgeable about everything that's ever happened here as anyone. He's featured on the documentary, Ann Fincher's documentary. His roots run all the way back to 1800 through my family, and even farther through the Colson family. And don't forget, you got Oakley in your blood, because everybody's got Oakley in the blood. So he's a junior at Murray State, Ryder Ballantyne, deep family roots. He's a senior. Senior?
Yes, sir.
Senior at Murray State, Spencer and Sheila's son. Also dedicated to carry on the traditions in the long run. So I'm going to let Colson say a few words to you right now.
Thank you. So let me first start off by saying thank you all for letting me speak out here today. I know there's a lot of people here that have a lot to say, and I'll try not to take too long at it. So we have a lot of great people here today who've spoken, and I think we have a great representation of not only the past, present, but also the future of this great area that we all share. I want to thank Jim McCoy and your team for being the best team that anyone over here has been able to work with in the past 60 years. And as we talked about earlier, there's been turmoil between people leaving and now, and I just want to thank you for being one of the first people and one of the first teams to give us this opportunity to come here like this today. Though it might sound odd to some people, I really did grow up here. Maybe not in the same way that a lot of you did, but I was over here about every weekend with my grandfather. And he told me stories. But more importantly than those stories, he taught me some of life's great lessons that he learned right near where I stand today. From having a good work ethic to giving back to your family and community, I am the man I am today in large part thanks to this place and the mentality of my grandfather and great people like Jim Wallace and other community leaders back in Trigg County and Cicadas, who were from Golden Pond originally. This community and its profound impact on the local area is exactly why I'm here as a young person, voicing my care for Golden Pond, because inevitably, it will someday be my generation's responsibility to share the stories and heritage. And like my grandfather was to me, not only storytellers, but historians, lest we forget this place that is home to so many. Sorry, I'm having a little bit of trouble with my paper here. Thank you, sir. I'm here today with one of my dear friends, Mr. Ryder Ballantyne. We both come from great families of our own, but together we come from a family that is the community of Golden Pond, which is still alive and well across this region. We may live in different towns, and some of us maybe even in different states, but we all still stick together, and that's something to be said for people who have not been together physically for 60-some-odd years. So it is through people like us, the vocal descendants, that we will make our voices heard and preserve and protect our shared heritage. I stand before you all steadfast in my commitment to this land and, more importantly, to all of you, that so long as I am able, I will regard this place as my home and you all as my family, and will endeavor to never let any of us be forgotten. To close, I ask each one of you to picture the best memory you have here in Golden Pond. Now imagine describing that to someone else and sharing your story. That is what it takes to help keep Golden Pond alive. We share the stories and memories that matter the most to us, and it is through that that we pass on a piece of the story of our home to the next generation. When we do this, we have truly made this our home forever. Again, thank you all for allowing me to speak here today. God bless Golden Pond.
Thank you, Ryder. Thank you, Colson. So let's celebrate today all the projects that have been accomplished. So many and so many yet to come. I think it will help tourism a lot, because this last week we've learned how interested people are in the history of this area, the good and the bad. So with that, I'll close out, and Jim, turn it back to you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Donnie. I'd like to recognize the committee members now, and you don't have to stand, but you raise your hand if you would. We began this project, I would say, 10 or 12 years ago. Jamie Bennett was here, and Chris worked under Jamie. And they were very instrumental in bringing this particular place, the Golden Pond Overlook, to fruition. So we consider both of them, even though Jamie is not here anymore, we consider both of them part of this committee. If you look at your programs, that committee is listed on the back of your program. I believe all these are native, were from here, except maybe Mark Turner, but his dad. Might mention his dad, Milton Pee-wee Turner. Nobody remembers Pee-wee. We were big buddies growing up. On Kentucky Lake, they referred to us as Huck and who was that other guy? Finn, no.
Tom.
Tom and Huck. We got into a lot of trouble. I know Fisherman's One Stop didn't particularly like our antics very much. This committee consists of Betty Jo Cossey and Retta Jones Ballantyne. Couldn't be with us. She has some serious health issues, but Retta in the early goings contributed a lot. Paula Crump Flood, she's the voice of our committee. So, and the information gatherer of our committee. If you want to know what's going on, call Paula. Joanne Wallace Harvey, one of my 1.5 cousins. Donnie Holland, who you just heard from. Vicki Oakley Lane, one of the Oakleys. Faye Wallace Oakley, another one of my 1.5 cousins. And J.B. Oakley, who's been very instrumental and faithful to the to our cause. And Mark Turner, who you've already been introduced to, and myself. But also on that committee was Chris Arnock, and Chris gave us a lot of leadership. COVID really knocked us down as far as trying to get moving with Fenton, but we got this in before COVID, and so it worked out very well, and it amazes me the condition that it is in after the time of sunshine that this particular place has taken over the years. And for the cleanup job, because I was up here 2-3 weeks ago, and there was some little dinginess in the displays, but today they cleaned them up. We certainly appreciate that. But at this time, I'm going to introduce Chris Arnock, and Chris has got a few things he would like to share with us. Chris Arnock.
Hello. I'm Chris Thornock. I'm the Heritage Program Manager here. And first of all, I'd like to thank a few people. I'd like to thank Tim and Jack. They're our trails management crew. And they were out with the Student Conservation Corps trying to repair this trail the last 2 days in order to get people up here after some flooding. I'd also like to thank our contractor, Tipton FSI, who brought the bathrooms up and mowed all the grass. And it just emphasizes what a team effort it is to take care of Land Between the Lakes. And that's something I learned right when I first got here. I came to Land Between the Lakes in 2015, and one of the first projects I worked on was this overlook under Jamie Bennett and with all my new Golden Pond friends. We put down the concrete, we put up the bases. Our partners from Golden Pond brought all the photographs, they brought the stories, the timelines, the paragraphs. And we helped organize everything into this Golden Pond overlook that you see today. And I think that was my first introduction to what collaboration really looks like, when the Forest Service can work with our partners in the community to create really cool projects. When we did this back in 2016, after the dedication, David Nickel came up to me and he said, "This is a really good project. Now we need to do it for every other community between the rivers." And I had that reaction. I was like, yeah, that is a good idea. It's never going to happen. It took us this long just to get this project done. But sure enough, a few years later, the folks from Chick County came back and they said, well, let's do it at Fenton. And using the same process, bringing the photographs, the stories, the timelines, the paragraphs, they told a fantastic story at Fenton as well. And we did it in a fraction of the time. So it's not unthinkable to actually tell the stories of all the people of Land Between the Lakes. And so I really enjoyed the Fenton project because I think we streamlined the process. So to talk about a few of the new things that we have coming, drawing off of these lessons that we've learned already, they mentioned the partnerships that we're planning with Stewart County Historical Society, Lyon County Historical Society and BTR, Trigg County Historical Society. I went down and spoke with Stewart County 2 weeks ago, and they were very excited, and they brought all their stuff, and it looks like once we sign this partnership agreement, we'll have an overlook like this down at the model community. So we'll start the process again with their with those descendants. Moving on from there, as was mentioned earlier, I'm in talks with the African-American community. Most of them are in Indianapolis and Paducah now, but they're really interested in doing one of these for the African-American community in Lyon County, up in the Twin Lakes area. So we're starting to move forward with that. I'm in talks with our Native American partners. We're actually looking at interpreting the Trail of Tears that came through this area all along the Tennessee River. So we'll be talking about their history here as well. Folks at Woodson Chapel and the Carmack community have also expressed interest in creating sign exhibits for their communities up in Lyon County. As Donnie said, we're also talking about revamping our history in the visitor center. The last time that was revamped was maybe back in the 90s or the 80s, and it could really use some updating. So we would really like to use our partnerships and the friendships that we've made to make it a lot more inclusive and let the community tell their own story instead of the Forest Service telling that story for them. And we're also looking at preservation of our historic structures. So we're looking at interpretation across the landscape, but also preservation. As was mentioned earlier, the Bell City, the Brooks House up at Bell City, we recently repaired all the broken windows that were damaged through vandalism. We've repaired all the doors. We've repaired the front porch that was falling in due to water damage. And so we're looking at trying to preserve the few structures that we still have here. The Cleo Griffin House. I have a work order in there to stabilize that front porch that is falling in. Once we get that stabilized, then we can work with volunteers to lay down new decking and tell that story as well. In addition to the removal of the former residents from Land Between the Lakes, which is a story we would tell there, we could also talk about VA. We could work with our VA partners and talk about veterans healthcare, which was an important Cleo Griffin story that needs to be told. So we want to reach out and tell everybody's story. One of the best ways that we can do that was a model with the St. Stephen's Church. The former residents came in, they said, this is the project we want to do. They took control. They made it a beautiful location up at St. Stephen's. And because it's a beautiful location, people don't go up there and vandalize it. They go up there and enjoy the history. And so we can take that model of former residents and now the Forest Service working together to create really cool places that highlight the history and heritage of Land Between the Lakes. And then lastly, I would just like to highlight that today the Nature Station has the native plant sale. So go north to the Nature Station, or you can go south to the home place. They're having landscape painting down there today. So anyways, those are some things that I wanted to highlight. I'm looking forward to the future of working with all of you, and I want to say thank you for helping me out this far.
Jim has another comment or two.
So, one more round of applause for Chris, please. Chris works really hard to keep the information pathways open and to build the relationships. And I personally think he's indispensable to me. So, a quick announcement I wanted to make as a way of demonstrating how important Between the Rivers communities' perspectives on how we manage this place really are. Very recently, I tore my organization apart and went through what we called a realignment. So there were boxes, you know, in various departments, you know, on the NRA here, and I tore those all apart and let's reassemble it and build something that we can drive into the future. One of the actions I took, signed into policy now, is that Chris is in the Heritage Shop is no longer buried down in recreation. Chris now sits at the staff level at Land Between the Lakes. So when we're making land management decisions and programmatic decisions, Chris's voice and by extension your voices come to the leadership table immediately. So just wanted to make that announcement. I think it's a big deal.